Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
A couple of things to get us started, and what we need to know about Global Perspectives is that it is a small team. So it's also my opportunity to thank Patrick and Danny Watkinson and Bianca McKinnon and Jeremy McKinnon who support me as we oversee the Global Perspectives, which is the mission. One of the things you don't see is us standing up here frequently or, in fact, ever asking for money or taking collections from the church. And that is because of the way that we're funded. You see, you know, Pastor Phil talked about the tithe and the giving and the faithful giving of this church. And on that money that comes in, Compass Church also tithes. And a portion of that tithe comes into Global Perspectives. So really, you can be proud today that everything that I'm sharing is work that you're part of. It's because of the consistency and the giving that you've made that we've been able to achieve any of this. The next slide that's going to come up is the mission statement of our church, called to our world to ignite active faith for the pure, life-changing love of Jesus Christ. And what I'd like to say is what I'm hoping what you'll hear today in my message from the work that we're partnering with people all over the world to do is that we're living out, and Compass Church is living out this mission statement day in and day out. As a church so far, we've been able to sow just under $45,000 this year into various ministries, both locally and internationally. And you're going to hear me talk about the word partnership a lot. Because one of the approaches that we take at Global Perspectives is to try as much as we can to find great men and women of God doing work and then partnering with them, because they're going to be there for the long term to see the outworking of those things. The money is essentially divided into two buckets, if you like, and we have some money that we set aside for emergency relief, and they're the things that come up that we can't plan for, we don't know about, but we want to, as a church, be in a position to respond. The other things we do are more longer terms. They're the things that we want to be in for the long haul and so on a long time basis into the kingdom of God. So if you can bring up the next slide, it's just a bit of a map and I'm going to talk through what those stars mean, and I've got a couple of photos to show you. And so that represents where your money has been sown into in 2022. Every year this map looks a little bit differently, and I want to start with the blue star. That blue star sits on the border of Ukraine, and at the start of the year, as the war broke out, there was a request from churches within Europe to get together and provide relief at the borders as the people of Ukraine were being displaced and were fleeing. Through a connection that I had, we were able to send money really quickly to be able to provide bedding and emergency supplies and equipment at those borders to essentially set up temporary refugee camps till those people could be processed and moved into other countries. Now, we know that work is only just beginning, and as we continue to maintain the relationship with those people we have in Eastern Europe, we're going to find out of longer problems that are going on in that area where we can be a part of the work. I want to take you down south now to that green star, the green star that's hovering over Thailand, and that represents the work that we're partnering with a lovely couple that we got to know called Bron and Tim Perry. They've been in Thailand for over a decade. I had the pleasure of meeting them during COVID when they got stuck in Australia on sabbatical. That went on a little bit longer. And what I got to hear was their heart for some changes that they want to see in the country of Thailand. They'd been ministering there in churches for a very, very long time, but their heart was moved for the people of God and for the children in Thailand. And so the money that we've sown in there is the phase one of a very long project that we're involved with, and that is to help in northern Thailand rehome some of the children that are in orphanages. Unlike our concept of an orphanage, in Thailand the people are in orphanage, the children are in orphanages, not because they don't have parents, but their parents can't afford to keep them. So what we paid for is for counsellors and social workers to be trained up to, in the first phase, help these children be reunited with their parents. And in subsequent phase of this project, what they're going to see is supporting the families to be able to financially keep and support those children within their family. So again, this is a watch this space. I'm going to go to Malawi, which is our red star. And for us, this is a really long-term relationship and a love that we have and a partnership with the Malawian people. Again, these projects take different shapes over different years. And the first one I want to talk to you about is the work that we're doing with Kondinani, which is the children's village. And we have a long-standing relationship with Annie. She's come to Australia, she's been part of our church. Through the McKinnons, we've been able to maintain relationship there. And as I said, we've sown into all sorts of things, whether it's into the children's village or medical supplies. But this year we were given the opportunity to actually support two children who have just finished their time and have been in Kontinandi for about 12 years, who are now getting ready for university. And I'll show you pictures, and I want to share a little bit more of their story, because today, more than anything else, what I want to do is ignite faith in you. When you hear of the work that you're partnering with, when you hear of the work that we're able to do and these great people and what they're doing in other countries, I want it to shift something in your spirit, in your life, about what is possible. And the other thing where we're able to do through a relationship Pastor Phil has with David Chikumba was they have a church that needed some renovation and some flooring, so we were able to help finish the project with the flooring that needed to be done and the tiling, as well as the front entrance of the church. But finally, we're also committed to locally. You know, it's important to us to be able to sow into Australia. And so, again, from an emergency perspective, when the floods hit in Queensland earlier this year, we're able to send money through Christian McCudden, who's going to be here next weekend at C3 Noosa, to be able to provide, again, emergency support, relief, as well as support some of the cleanup efforts. Aside from that, we are also invested in a couple called Pastor John and Robin Murray, who have an Indigenous ministry and are working at what shape and form that ministry looks like. So we're able to support them as they're starting work in Lake Tyers with the community, the Indigenous community there, and support them with things for Sunday school, Bibles. They go and do baptism, so they're able to do some of that. We also often will send things for the children during Christmas, which no doubt we'll do again this year. But what I hope you will see is what we do is not just about the money we send. What I'm really proud of is, even though there's a small team, we're committed to walking the journey with these people. You know, Danny does a beautiful job maintaining relationship with Tim and Bron, so we know what's going on in Thailand. Through the McKinnons, we keep a bit of a heartbeat on what's going on in Malawi, as well as Pastor Phil. I'm trying to learn as much as I can about what it means to do ministry in Indigenous Australia by walking with Pastor John and Robin Murray. So, you know, aside from that, we're also, as a board, decided around June this year that we needed to support local schools while we didn't have the schools tour. And so we're really pleased to say that we're supporting Liam a day a week to go and build relationships and share the gospel message within our school system. So that's a little bit about what we're doing. So I would love to bring up some pictures for you. On the left-hand side of the screen, what you're going to see is the bedding that you supplied in those border camps in Romania, being dispatched and turned around in a matter of 2 weeks. Here's our lovely Martha and Moses and Annie, who runs Kontinandi. These are our two kids that are going to Bible college. And I promised I would share a little bit more about these kids. And I think both of these have been in Kontinandi since they were infants. They haven't known their biological parents or had a strong relationship with them. And when Annie told us about them, she shared a little bit about why they wanted to go to Bible college, which is something I wanted to share with you. For Martha, the story is that while she's interested in science, she felt the call of God that she too wants to start her own orphanage. So she's going into Bible college to get her theological training and then wants to progress to open her own. You know, Moses has a different story, and his story was one about being so grateful about all the international speakers, pastors who came and shared the gospel. But he feels a deep conviction that it's time for Malawians to share the gospel with other Malawians. And not only does he want to share the gospel, but he actually wants to be influential in government circles and influence things in the country of Malawi. So to me, these are kingdom changers. These are people who, by us sowing into them, are going to sow into generations to come and extend the gospel message, which I just think is an amazing thing to be a part of. The last picture we have is a picture of Joy's Church. It's our before and after shots of the flooring we're able to provide. You know, this is going to become a house of God where people are going to come and hear the message, where souls are going to be saved. And so what I hope you take away from this is that the kingdom of God is being extended by every dollar that you sow in. By faithful giving, through tithing, to your stewardship, we're able to complete these works and partner with these amazing people. And so I share this all with you as a bit of a launch pad into something that has been absolutely burning on my heart. I absolutely know for Global Perspectives to Compass Church that God has more for us. This is like the tip of the iceberg, what we're able to do. And this is not just about me standing up here for money. This is about me absolutely convinced in my heart that God wants us to have the faith for more. And he wants us to have the faith for more, not because we're going to give. That's going to be an outworking of us having great faith. But actually, what he wants for us in this auditorium today is to experience our own personal breakthrough, is for our faith to be stirred to a whole nother level where we can believe for something that we currently can't even see. You see, for me, when I think about faith for more, it is this absolute definition that the dictionary uses about complete trust and belief in someone or something. Now, I know for me that that means complete trust and belief in Jesus Christ. And when I have the faith for more, I believe the more will just come. Now, I don't know what your more is, but as sure as I'm standing here today, I know that that is his desire for each one of us. So I come with a really simple message today, and that he wants to use today, this message, this time together as a catalyst. Wherever you are in your walk with God and your level of faith, he wants to shift it to another realm. He wants to move you from the place where you are now to believe for more. Because I can tell you right now, the world needs more. They need the men and women of God of faith to desire more, to break open those realms of finance, to break open those realms of the Holy Spirit, to see the miracles, to see the wonders. And so to get us there today, I'm going to start by reading from James chapter 2, and then we'll see where we go. It's going to appear on the screen, and it says, "What does it profit, my brethren, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister is naked, destitute of daily food, and one of you says to them, 'Depart in peace, be warmed and be filled,' but you not give them the things which are needed for the body, what does it profit? So also faith by itself that does not have works is dead. But someone will say, 'You have faith, I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works.' You believe that there is one God. You do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture fulfilled which said, 'Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. He was called the friend of God.' Then you will see man is justified by works and not by faith only. Likewise, was not Rahab the harlot justified by works when she received the message and sent them out another way? For the body without the spirit is dead, but works without faith is dead also." So I read that whole passage of scripture, and for me there is a line in there which kind of keeps resonating, and it's out of verse 18. "I will show you my faith by my works." To me, this takes me right back to our mission statement about having active faith. When we have active faith, we're going to see faith and work just working together. And so for me, I believe that when we have great faith, as I said before, the works will just follow. So I don't want to spend our time together worried about the works. The more money, the more resource, the more time that we're going to need to accomplish all God has asked us to do. Because I believe that when we get a revelation of the faith and our faith is stirred, what happens will just be an outcome of what we believe. And so for me, kind of meditating on that scripture about, "I will show you my faith by your works," the Holy Spirit has been convicting me, and not in a condemning sort of way. What does my works demonstrate about what I believe, my level of faith, my wholehearted trust in God? And I have to be honest, when I can stand here quite comfortably today and say that when I reflect on my life to date and the fruit of it, I know that I have been a really good steward. I have tried really hard to steward all the things that God has given me. Now, I've got a definition up there about what stewardship is: the careful, the responsible management of the things that are entrusted to me. Whether it was resource, money, time, skills, I have tried really hard to do the things that God has required of me. The sowing and the reaping, the tithing, the regular giving, I've kind of been a part of all of it. But when I look back, I only see little pockets where there has been this aspect of faith. And so it made me look into, you know, what does faith mean? I mean, I gave you the definition. It is absolute trust and belief in something or someone. So do my works currently show that I have complete trust and belief in God? And actually, the truth is that no, I don't. And I just want to be really honest about that. There are areas of my life that, yes, I have amazing faith, but there are other areas of my life where my faith is still the size of a mustard seed. And what I'm really glad about is God doesn't judge that. He's happy with the mustard seed. He can work with a mustard seed when we give it to him. And so it sent me on this journey trying to understand a little bit about the faith that Hebrews talks about. And I know Marco shared a little bit from Hebrews this morning, and I like the definition that the writer of Hebrews uses about faith being the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Other translations use the word the convictions of things we cannot see. And so there are two aspects to faith that I wanted to talk about today that I'm hoping is going to unlock something in your own journey and your own spiritual walk. And then there'll be this ripple effect where there's a breakthrough in your own life, you're going to see a breakthrough into your community and then extend into the world and your areas of influence. So the first one is hope. The first thing faith talks about is hope. And if you have a look at definitions for hope, what you're going to find it's really closely related to in the definition somewhere there'll be a reference to trust. So again, when you think about this Hebrew scripture about having faith, my question to you is, where is your hope at the moment? Where's the level of hope? Where's the level of belief? Where's your level of trust to believe for the things that you cannot see? For some of us, over the last few years and over time, we've been hoping a long time for a lot of things. And there have been so many disappointments, so many setbacks. My heart actually aches for the lack of hope that some of us have and carry with us right now. That disappointment has almost become so limiting, so crushing, that we've taken backward steps in the area of faith. And for you this morning, I have a funny line. There's a movie that I love, I haven't watched it for a while, called The Exotic Marigold Hotel. And so for anybody who knows this movie, there's a very optimistic character called Sonny, and he makes this statement. It will all be okay in the end. And if it's not okay, then it's not the end. And the truth is, for some of you, as long as you have breath in your lungs this morning, there is hope. Yeah. It's not over yet. Those things, those disappointments, my prayer for you this morning is that you will dare to hope again, that you will dust off those plans, you will dust off those business ideas. Because as sure as I stand here today, I know that there are amazing business ideas that sit within the life of this church. But through disappointment, through setbacks, through even just focusing on the natural world, you can't see where the investment will come from. Now is not a great time economically to start a business. But the truth is, when you hope and you put it into God's hands, when you have that faith, that complete belief that things will happen, amazing things will happen. And then the second part of this message is about the second part of the scripture, which is what I think really takes stewardship into the realm of faith, and that is the conviction of the belief of what you cannot see. Some of us this morning are playing in the safe space. Their faith is as big as the things that they can see. I'll give you a little bit of an illustration about how this is playing out in my own life. Do I believe God for the things I cannot control? Do I believe God for the things that if I don't work hard enough, I don't save more, that I'm still going to see those things in my lifetime? Do I believe God for the things that I know in my own strength, with my own limited capability, I cannot achieve? That is faith. And some of us today need a mindset change, a simple shift that's going to unlock a realm of faith you have never had, because you are going to let go of the I can. See, what I've learned about stewardship is so much of it depends on me. So much of stewardship is about me being entrusted and being responsible. When I step into the realm of faith, I give that up. I give up the stewardship. Although what I have to say is, in my life, stewardship has opened the gateway for faith. By doing the things that God expects, he's taking me into a realm, and I believe each one of you into a realm of things where you'll be asked to do with unexpected consequence. That the sowing and the reaping becomes the multiplication and the exponential growth of not just funds, but of people. Now, some of you have spent most of the service having a look at this and wondering, what is the chair for? I know it upset Sher because he didn't know whether to focus the camera there or not. And I have to be honest with each of you, because for some, I see parts of a message before I ever know what I'll be speaking about. And a couple of weeks ago in church, I saw a chair, exactly this chair, sitting on a stage empty. And all through the week, I've tried to decide what the chair was for, what should go on it. Does God want me to sit down for this message? That would be nice. I think it would have stopped Sher having to keep up with my walking about. I've had things sitting on a chair. There was checks, there was groceries, there was time. At one point, there was Mr. Potato Head sitting on the chair. But there's a lesson about my beautiful mind. And actually, what God was showing me, this is my reason for the faith for more. This is the reason why each of us needs to break through for more. Because what the Holy Spirit showed me, these are the empty seats in heaven. This becomes the reason for why we do what we do. You see, one of the things that I learned in John 10:10, it talks about Jesus saying, I came to give you life and life abundantly. And the conviction that he's dropped into my spirit, which is a message for another time and another day, is around, do I believe when I read that, that he's talking about my earthly life? Because then the things that I require to live abundantly look very different. But if I can believe that actually he came to give me eternal life and eternal life abundantly, actually then what I want is something really different. The things that become important and the things that fall away look really different. And actually what makes me really hungry and what makes me want more when I think about eternal life is I want those seats filled. I get one chance at it on this side of heaven to fill those seats. And then I get a rest of eternity to meet those people. You know, to meet some of the people that says, I'm in here today in this kingdom because I heard a message that Martha preached when she was running her orphanage. Or I met Jesus because I had an amazing encounter with Tim and Bronwyn Perry. I had an amazing encounter because of what you did. And there, I've got a seat in heaven. For some of you, you have names for these seats. They're your children, they're your friends, they're your loved ones. And so if that's what you want, God is calling you to stir up your faith, to hope again for the things that you've put aside as being too hard, to then push yourself, if you're in that safe space like I am, to see whatever it is that he wants for me and believe that there's even more. And the more doesn't depend on me being able to do any more, be any more. It's simply putting something into God's hands. And so today, as I said, I believe that simply I am here as a catalyst. I'm here to ignite something in each one of us because I think this service is about shifting us. You know, there's no mistake to me that Phil and I changed our preaching times, that Christian's coming next week. I think for us it's about opening the door to the faith that we have, to believe for something more than what we can see in preparation for even Christian coming next week. And so as I invite the band up and can I also ask the prayer team to come up, I wrestled with why do I want people to come up to the altar when I know full well Holy Spirit can do what he needs to do in your seats. And what he reminded me is that each one of us, we're built for community. We are built to be able to share our burdens when my faith is low, to partner with people whose faith is high. And so this morning, there's a couple of you that I want to speak specifically to. I know disappointment. I understand when hope, you know, the Bible even tells us hope deferred makes the heart sick. And some of you today need to come forward, stand with men and women of God who have faith where you might not, who can stand with you, encourage you, have a word for you and stir that hope back up again. For another group here, there is something quite specific. You need to change your mindset to take you out of this safe space, to take you out of the realm of I'm believing for what I can make happen. I have a plan B. You know, God, if you don't come through, I'll just go and do it this way. And God is calling you to push your boat out, just to let go of your plan B and to actually believe that there is more for you, more than what you can see. For some of you, that takes the form of promotion. You need greater influence. For some, definitely it's in the area of finance. For some of you, it is pushing through to see more of what the Holy Spirit, there's things in the Bible that you have not experienced in your lifetime that God wants for you. And finally, my empty seat. That seat might actually be for you this morning. You've heard me talk and you don't have that relationship with Jesus. Your act of faith might simply be coming out, talking to some of these people that are up the front and starting your own personal walk with Jesus. Because the truth is, it doesn't matter how much money we put into Global Perspectives or anything else, unless people meet and have their own encounter with Jesus, their life won't change. And lastly, there's the area of finance which Pastor Phil talked about during tithing. It's an area where I have seen provision in my own life as I have taken steps of faith. God has challenged me to give things away, money, resource, things, and every single time he has come through supernaturally without even me asking. So if you need a very specific breakthrough in the area of finance, I'm going to be up the front this morning and I would love to pray for you. Because while I said I have limited faith in many areas, this is one area I have the faith for you. So I would just invite you to come. And in closing, there's a couple of people that I have been praying for during the week that I just felt God wanted to encourage you. And the first one is John and Ali, my life group leaders, who I get to watch every week. And I know that the two of you are great people of faith already. But I just know that you are hungering and thirsting for more of the things of the Spirit. That when you read the Bible time and time again, you just see that there are things you have not experienced. And I can just see that the Holy Spirit is going to bust that open for you. But He's going to take you to a place so that you can take others. Because there's a whole group of people that need to follow you. There's a whole group of people waiting for you to have that breakthrough so that people like me can walk in that miracle. And then the other one is Marco. We didn't realize that you were we were preaching at the same time and doing communion. And I mean, you are an amazing treasurer, and God has definitely given you a gift with finance. But what God has been laying on my heart is that you are also to be a treasurer of souls, because you are somebody He trusts, and He trusts deeply. And the word He wanted to highlight to you is "and," that He will not ask you at this point in time to choose between doing the things for the kingdom and doing the things in the world, because they're one and the same in His eyes. As you go around your business, as you press into the word of God, there will be opportunity for you to just minister to the souls, to be able to collect people into the kingdom, almost just seamlessly and naturally. You will use the things that He has taught you about finance, and you're going to extend them unto people. And finally, there's someone here who I don't know who it is, but you have a really specific question, and your question has been, "God, do you see me?" In fact, you've cried out to God saying, "Do you see me in my pain, in my trouble? Do you see me?" And God wants you to know that not only does He see you, but boy, does He love you. And He's asking you tonight to come out for prayer, because I believe that as people pray for you, that you are going to be touched in a tangible way and experience that love of God. Because He wants you to leave this auditorium never needing to ask that question again, to have it settled in your heart that, boy, are you seen and you are loved. So I'd like to thank you all for coming. We're going to open this altar now for worship and prayer, and we'll see you next weekend. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.